Good evening, church. It's good to be back together this evening. I hope you enjoyed your afternoon. Maybe you got a nap. Maybe you didn't. I did. It's always a good day. I always say, I work on Monday, but I say, well, how was your Sunday? I said, it was church, lunch, and nap. I try not to make the nap during church, but I didn't this morning. So it was church, lunch, nap. It was in the correct order today. I'm sure you've heard the statement, there's no I in team. Right? We've all heard that maybe. If you're a sports person, you've heard that through sports. Think about maybe at a time that at work, maybe you've been on a team. What makes up a team? Well, a team's got to be more than one person, right? It's got to be multiple people. Maybe it's two, maybe it's five, maybe it's ten. But a team is somebody or something that's more than one. And so what makes up a good team? Well, a good team would be people with different talents, different abilities. I think of the management team I have at Layman's, and there's seven other managers on my team at Layman's. They all have different talents and abilities. We're not all the same, thank goodness. We need that. I'm looking at Mike Nosky and Sarah. Think of medical teams, right? Everybody in that surgery, they all do different things, right, Mike? I mean, they're not all in there doing the same thing. So we have different abilities, different talents, and we know different things. We have a different level of knowledge. I was this afternoon. I caught a little bit of the Indianapolis 500. I don't watch Indy racing that much, but I kind of enjoy watching that. And so if you caught any of that, they couldn't go two laps without wrecking in the beginning. But once they got through all of that, one of the guys that was wrecked, I don't remember which one he was, but when he was interviewed after he got wrecked, I always like when they say, well, what are you feeling? Well, I just got wrecked out of the race. I'm feeling great. You know, woohoo, I got wrecked. Thank you, right? No, what do you feel? I hate that question. But anyhow, and they said, well, you know, walk us through the wreck, and he did. But then he said, you know, he was grateful for his team. And he listed, I mean, he didn't list everybody, but he said the team of engineers back at the shop and the team of engineers at the racetrack today and for the crew chiefs and the pit crews. And, you know, he listed all these different people that made it possible for him to race in this race today. I mean, he recognized that if it was just him, it wasn't going to happen. He thanked the sponsors and all those kind of things. And so, you know, we're the world we live in and the things that we do, we have to have teams. And all of us have different abilities. Think about the human body. I'm no smart person, so I'm not going to begin to try to get into technical stuff. But I know to move my finger, something has to happen up here. I know that much, right? I mean, God created our body in such an amazing way. And so I'm learning a lot about the back right now because I got some back problems. So I'm learning a little bit about what all involved with the back. But it's incredible, God's design for our human body. It's just amazing. Well, the church is the same way. The church is the same way. We're not made up this evening of people that all can do the same thing. All of us tonight in this auditorium have been blessed with different gifts and talents and abilities by our Father in heaven. And He expects us to use them. That was His design for the church. That's how He made it. That was intentional. He didn't just get lucky. That was what He wanted. And all of us have a different role and a different part to play in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so Paul talks about that here, just a little bit about what all that means and what that looks like. The text that was just read just a second ago. Oh, I messed myself up. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the foot, I do not need you. No, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually very important. And the part that we think are not worth very much are the parts that we give the most care to. And we give special care to the parts of the body that we don't want to show. There's no one person in this room this evening that's more important than anybody else. Okay, so maybe we have some men that are elders here and deacons. But that doesn't mean they're more important than anybody else. They have some more responsibility, maybe. But in God's eyes, we're all the same. We're all just as important as the next person. And sometimes, maybe we take that for granted. Maybe we say, he said in verse 22, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are actually very important. And the parts that we think are not worthy very much are the parts we need to give the most care to. Several years ago, I had stitches in my hand. Matter of fact, I think Sarah took them out at her kitchen table, if I remember right, because I don't want to go back to the doctor to get it done. So I stopped at Dr. Sarah's house. But I couldn't use this thumb for like 3 weeks. This little thing right here, you can't do anything without it. I didn't think about that until I couldn't use it anymore. When I had my hernia surgery here earlier this year, I didn't know that when you blinked, it stretched your stomach muscle. I didn't realize that until I had my hernia surgery. You don't think about those things. Everything is important. Everything we do for the Lord's church is important. Each one of us serve a specific role. And it's different. And it's different for a reason. That's intentional. I absolutely understand that not everybody is comfortable with standing up and reading scripture in public or leading a song in public. That's okay. Because you know what? Not everybody's comfortable getting a 10-foot ladder out and changing the light bulb either. But we have to have it, don't we? Or changing that clock back there every year, which is the crew back there, that's their job. They change the time on the clock. Not everybody's comfortable doing that, and that's okay. Not everybody can get up on the roof and fix the roof here. Or change the lights here in the auditorium. But that doesn't mean the person that's changing that light bulb is any less important than the person that stands up here and preaches a sermon every Sunday, does it? We all are just as important. No matter what our role is, no matter what we do, and God's very specific with that. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. In prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving to the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. What's Paul saying here? Paul's saying, whatever your gift is, whatever your talent is, use it. Use it. He didn't give us these things to not use it. What's the story of the men that got the different talents? Some of them used it. Some of them didn't. And we have to use them. Because if we don't use our talents, what happens? Well, they go away. I haven't jumped on a skateboard in probably, what am I, 43? Probably 30-some years. If I jumped on a skateboard, I'd be going back to Nurse Sarah to take my stitches out again, probably. I haven't done that in a while. I probably shouldn't do that. If we don't use the talents that God's given us, we're going to lose them. That's not what he wants in his church. Paul listed all these things, and they're all extremely important. They all matter in the Lord's church. The church itself, the congregation here at Massillon, doesn't just run by itself. Things don't get done. Don't just snap your finger and things are done. It takes people. It takes us. Do we always want to do stuff? I'll be honest with you, no. We don't always feel like it, do we? Or maybe we don't have time. That's a tough one. Because time can get away pretty quick, can't it? I had a conversation with the other gentleman that's the director with me for Senior Week. And Senior Week for camp is like 5 weeks away or something. I'm like, oh my goodness. We met last week about family camp. Family camp's a couple weeks after that. We say every year, Greg, oh, we're going to be on. We're never earlier, are we? Seems to be getting later. Time gets, it's busy. Life is busy. God knows that. Does that mean the work of the church has to stop? No. Just because we're busy? Mm-mm. Mm-mm. If I'm too busy to do the Lord's work, then I think I need to reexamine what I'm busy with. I have to look at that myself. I can't answer that for you, and you can't answer that for me. We have to examine ourselves. Are we using our time wisely? It all goes back to the talents that God gave us. 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 14. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong in the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong in the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? What's Paul saying again? He's saying everything has a purpose. We have purpose. What's our purpose? I hope our purpose is to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the best we can, and to serve each other the best we can. I've heard several say, and I don't want to pick on Charles because he's not here tonight, but I've heard him say before, he can't do as much as he used to do when he was younger. I'm not going to say it. You can say it here for yourself. I'm not going to say it tonight. But if that's the case, okay. But there's something we can all do. I certainly can't cook a meal for somebody. I mean, I could, but you wouldn't want it. I know there's a lot of ladies in here and men in here that can cook some pretty good meals. But I can write a card and send it to somebody. Maybe I can't go physically visit somebody in the hospital, but I can send them a card or call them. There's always something we can do. And that might change as we get older. Our talents will change as we get older. Our physical abilities will change as we get older. But that doesn't mean, well, I'm just going to stop doing it. True story, way back when Mark and Avenue congregation merged with the 38th Street congregation, which I tell you the truth, I can't remember how long ago that was now. I was younger when that happened. I remember John Oberlin, who's one of the elders at Market Avenue at the time. John passed away a couple years ago. He serves as an elder at Northwest. I remember him telling the story that when the first Sunday that we had all met as one congregation, he had asked a gentleman who was from the Market Avenue congregation, he had asked a gentleman to serve communion. And the answer this gentleman gave was, no, I've served enough in my life. I'm not going to do this anymore. Whew. Boy, I hope I never say that. That's the absolute wrong attitude. Now, there may be some days I'm tired. There may be days I don't feel good. But you don't think Jesus was tired? I drove here tonight. Jesus didn't drive anywhere. The disciples and apostles, they didn't drive anywhere, did they? They walked. You don't think they were tired when they got somewhere? Did Jesus say, well, you know what, I need to take a week's vacation. I need some time off. Well, he would occasionally go by himself, or he'd try to go by himself and spend some time in prayer, but that's different. No, the work didn't stop because he got to the next town and he was exhausted, and maybe they hadn't ate in quite a while and they had just got done walking 20 miles. No, the work continued, didn't it? Why? Because the focus for Jesus and the apostles were, Jesus said, I'm here to do my Father's business. We don't get to retire from Christianity. And if we do think we retire from Christianity, I think you need to spend a little more time in the scriptures and understand what the word Christian really means. Our talents might change, our abilities might change, but there's always something that can be done. He says here, if we all were eyes or ears or hands, that wouldn't work. We're all different. Doesn't matter how old we are or how young we are. We can all do something. First Corinthians 12:23. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the great honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. With our more presentable parts do not require, but God, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. You ever been on a team or a part of a team or seen a team that there's just dismay and discord and nobody gets along? How does that team function? Besides the Cleveland Browns, how does that team function? Not very well. Yeah, not very well. If everybody on the team says, well, I'm the most important thing, what's going to happen? Well, nothing's going to get done, right? When they say too many cooks in the kitchen? That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. What's that mean? It means nobody here is any better than anybody else. And if I walk in here and I think I'm better than anybody else, I've got a serious problem. personal problem, don't I? If we're part of the church, and all of us think we're the most important part of that church, we're going to have a problem. There's going to be problems. Things aren't going to run smooth. Now, there have to be leaders, I understand that. There has to be folks that give direction and give guidance, and we understand that. There has to be some kind of leadership, just like at work, there has to be some kind of leadership. But that doesn't mean that we care less for each other, because we're all the same. We should care about the other body parts. I should care about my thumb and my fingers and my hands and my toes. I mean, they're all important. I need them. I guess I don't need them, but life is easier with them, for sure. What happens when one of us hurts? If my brother or my sister is hurting, I should be hurting with them. And if my brother and sister is rejoicing, I should be rejoicing with them. Look at verse 26, 1 Corinthians 12. If one part of the body suffers, then all the other parts suffer with it. Or if one part is honored, then all the other parts share the honor. If we stick to the design that God had for us and His church, we're going to care for one another. And if I know that one of my brothers or sisters is in need, I'm going to try to take care of that need if I can. Or if one of my brothers and sisters is hurting, I'm going to comfort them if I can. We should never have a power struggle in the Lord's church. Remember what Jesus said when he was asked if her sons could sit on the right hand? Remember that answer? I probably would have answered a little different than Jesus. I said, I'm sorry, you want to do what? There should never be a power struggle in the Lord's church. It was mentioned this morning in Bible class about spiritual maturity or growing spiritually. If I'm spiritually mature as I should be and continue to be every day and continue to get better every day, then I understand who really is in control. And it's not me. It's not the elders. It's not the deacons. But it's our Father in heaven. And if we keep Him the center, if we keep Him our focus, if we keep doing His word, His work, if we keep doing that work, the focus and the center of what we do, then we're going to be okay. Then all of us together, collectively, with all the talents that we've been given, we will do great things here on earth to further the kingdom. But if we decide, I'm going to be in charge, we're going to do things my way, I don't care what anybody else thinks, that's when Satan steps in and just destroys everything. None of us is any more important than any one of us. In the eyes of our Father, He loves us all the same. Let's not take for granted what He's given us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for the days You've given us. Thank You for this beautiful weather we have now, Father. Father, we thank You for Your church. We thank You for giving us the design of the church, Father. We thank You for giving us the talents that You have given us, Father, and may we use them to the best of our abilities, May we continue to grow them, Father. May we seek new talents. Father, may we all work together in your church. May we all work together here at Massillon, Father, to further the kingdom, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. May we all stay focused on you and remember what's truly important, which is not our will, Father, but your will. Continue to guide us, Father. May we look to you for strength. We love you. We thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, it's up to you. It's up to me to decide how we're going to do what God has asked us to do. Satan's going to do everything he can to pull us away from that. He's going to fight hard to get between us. He's going to fight hard to put roadblocks in our way. He's going to fight hard to get us to feel a certain way. He doesn't want the Lord's church to be successful. He's going to do everything he can to destroy it. And we can't forget that. We can't forget that he's out there trying to devour us like a lion. But if you're here this evening and you've not accepted your Lord and Savior, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have that opportunity this evening to do so. As I mentioned this morning, it's not just the invitation right now, but that invitation is always open. The Lord's invitation is always open. But if you're here tonight and you have done that, but you need to ask for forgiveness, you need to ask for prayers from your brothers and sisters, that's what we're here for. That's the wonderful thing about the family of God, how he designed it. We can all pray for each other and all help for each other. Anything that we can do for you this evening, come to the front now as we stand and as we sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood.